Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
Good to be back here with you.
Yeah, I'm glad you're back, too. You weren't here last week.
I know.
I did a show with Julie Massey, and that was fun, too.
I listened to it. It was really good.
Orphans and widows, which a lot of the Old Testament is about orphans and widows. But This show is not about orphans and widows. This show is about vineyards.
Vineyards?
Yeah. Not like, you know, the ones in California.
The wineries?
Wine country.
No?
Well, related to that.
They have good and fertile soil in those vineyards.
That's right. Related to that. But we're going to do this kind of, the one we're going to, actually this week and next week, we're going to talk about vineyards. One's going to be from the Old Testament, one's going to be from the New Testament. And they actually kind of follow from the one new man. They actually do follow. You know, if you were listening before, we had quite a few shows about the one new man, the partition between Jew and Gentile being brought down by Jesus in his flesh. And these kind of go along because the one in Isaiah is very prophetic, written 700 years before Jesus, and then Jesus patterns another teaching on a vineyard, which follows this step by step, except he's saying it to the guys right in front of him that are going to bear the consequences of what he's talking about. So they weren't happy again. It's like Brood of Vipers time again.
Yeah.
And the Isaiah one is kind of interesting because, you know, that prophet lived a long time before Jesus was born. And again, you know, the concept of a vineyard is very important. And we talked, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago. And for those of you that have gone to vineyard churches, you may have heard about this. And John Wimber, who was their founder, used to say that a vineyard kind of describes everything that goes into the spiritual life. You know, clearing out the rocks, tilling the soil, planting the vines, pulling out the weeds, you know, taking care of the area around it, going in and harvesting the fruit. And it kind of covers every aspect of spiritual life.
Yeah.
Which is why he liked the word vineyard. And these two stories are Old Testament, New Testament parallels and follow from the one new man. And of course, we're going to start with the Old Testament one. It'd be silly to start with the New Testament one. Let's have Stephen read.
Are we going to start with your favorite major prophet?
My favorite major prophet, Isaiah, or Yeshayahu would be his Hebrew name. We're going to read in Isaiah 5, which is a really cool chapter anyway, but we're just going to read verses 1 to 7.
1 to 7? Okay.
And pick up your Bibles and or click on your whatever device you have it on, and you can follow along.
Okay. Now let me sing of my friend, my beloved song about his vineyard. My friend had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He spaded it, cleared it of stones, and planted the choicest vines. Within it he built a watchtower and hewed out a winepress. Then he waited for the crops of grapes, but it yielded rotten grapes. Now the inhabitants of Jerusalem, people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could be done for my vineyard that I did not do? Why, when I waited for the crop of grapes, did it yield rotten grapes? Now I will let you know what I am going to do to my vineyard. Take away its hedge, give it to grazing, break down its walls, let it be trampled, or break through its walls, let it be trampled. Yes, I will make it a ruin. It shall not be pruned or hoed, but will be overgrown with thorns and briars. I will command the clouds not to rain upon it. The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, to the people of Judah, his cherished plant. He waited for judgment, but see bloodshed, for justice, but hark the outcry.
Mm. Very powerful. And
yes.
This is a very interesting passage because it uses the metaphor of the vineyard. But then the prophet tells you, God speaking through the prophet, tells you the vineyard's is Israel.
Right.
You know, there's no beating around the bush. There's no, like, I wonder what the vineyard means. He tells you what it means. It's like when Jesus does the parable of the sower, he goes, let me explain this to you.
Yeah.
This exactly. is this and this is this. So there's no fumbling around saying, I wonder what this word means, what this word means. What's you know, he's yeah. got, this is a vineyard that he owns. And, you know, he talks about how his beloved has the vineyard. Because actually Jesus, the Messiah, is actually the king over the vineyard. The vineyard is for him. And if you go through New Testament readings, if you read the book, the Song of Songs in the Old Testament, it talks about how the groom has vineyards and people work in the vineyards.
Right.
And so this is a very important concept, but it shows the great things that God has done for his people. And Isaiah is talking about the chosen people. Because you see, the vineyard is set up. There's a border put around it. The vineyard separated from the rest of the world. The rest of the world wasn't cultivated like the vineyard was. Now remember, he tells us at the end of that passage, the vineyard is Israel. So Israel is separated from the rest of the lands. And we know that because it's the promised land. It's the land flowing with milk and honey. God said to the people, you're going there, and when you get there, you're not going to have anything to do with the people around you or the people that you find there, because you're different than they are. You're the chosen people.
Right.
The rest of the world around it is not cultivated like the vineyard is. In other words, the Gentiles are unclean, non-covenant people who are outside the border of this. And the vineyard was the fruitful place that God had set up. And he had set it up with so much care and so much provision because the vineyard had a very special relationship with God. He had revealed himself to them. He gave them the Sabbaths. He gave them the feasts. They had all of the scripture. They had all of the law. They had the Levitical priesthood. They had the prophets. I mean, everything was set up to make this a good place to bear fruit.
Right, right. Yeah, God gave them everything that they needed to have a fruitful harvest, if you will. And, you know, a lot of us today, we might not, you know, since we don't have vineyards in our backyards or farms, a lot of people don't even have, like, gardens anymore.
Yeah.
So the whole concept of growing something, planting it, nurturing it, and seeing the crop, you know, yield the harvest or yield the fruit can be somewhat foreign to mm-hmm. really people in our modern times because mm-hmm. we just go about, you know, we go to the supermarket and buy groceries and fruits and vegetables and stuff like that. But as you're laying out, this vineyard is a protected area because mm-hmm. the grapes had to be harvested at a certain time. They needed to be, you know, they had to be picked at the right time when they were just, you know, when they were just being ripened.
Mm-hmm.
If it was too soon, it wasn't good. If it was too late, it was even worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but as you said, God gave Israel the law, the prophets, and with that, he really gave Israel good and fertile soil mm-hmm. that they were to bear fruit. They were to be a light for the nations and to bear fruit. And if the soil in a vineyard where you grow grapes is not good soil, you're not going to get good fruit.
That's right. And that's what it's all about, is bear fruit.
Yeah.
You don't plant a vineyard and say, gee, I hope I get some grapes.
Hope I get some grapes so we can make some wine later on. Huh? Well,
you don't get any grapes. The whole thing was a failure.
Yeah, and a vineyard is a large, large yeah. portion of land. We got to remember that, too. So, but what is, you know, God's talking about, you know, that he is going to, like, what more could he have done for his vineyard? He waited for this harvest. He waited for his word to take root in their hearts.
Exactly.
And to follow him.
Exactly.
And from time, you know, time and time again, we see that the nation of Israel would rebel against God. And they would follow their own designs.
Mm-hmm.
And after so long, Isaiah comes along and says, this is what's going to happen.
Patience runs out.
Patience runs out, exactly.
He puts a fence around it, a wall around it, which is a special protection.
Yeah.
To keep the other people out.
Yeah.
This is my land. Mm-hmm. The other people don't come in
right.
unless he lets them come in.
Right.
Which is what you're saying. Eventually, he breaks the wall down.
Right.
He breaks the wall down.
Mm-hmm.
The people don't break the wall down. The people in the vineyard don't break the wall. He breaks the wall down and says, fine. You want to be like everybody else? You don't want to, you want to bear bad fruit? Go ahead.
Right.
You can do it now.
Right. When God breaks the wall down, then all that destruction comes. As the people are, you know, as they're going their own separate ways, they're doing things against, they're transgressing against God's law. He still is trying to protect them.
That's right.
But once that, once this happens, that God removes his protection from something, look out.
Yeah. Nothing from the outside could have ruined it.
Right.
You know, the whole thing was under his eye, under his protection. And, you know, it's, if you read through there, it's so cool. You know, the ground was broken up. In other words, it was plowed. The soil was made ready. The stones were cleared out. You know, you can't leave a bunch of stones everywhere inside of a place you're planting stuff.
No.
You have to break up the ground. You have to remove the stones. You have to make the ground ready. It's ready for fruitfulness. And then it says that he planted his best vines.
Yes. Yes.
Which, you know, it's his law. It's his ordinances.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, his people. They were the only people on the whole earth that had a covenant relationship. And they lived inside the vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
He built a tower in the middle of it. That watched over the thing. It was part of the defense. You could look around to see who's coming. Sometimes the vineyard keepers lived in the towers in those days. So there were people watching over the vineyard. It's a place, you know, similar to the temple. It's a place within the vineyard where he met his people. The guy lived in the tower and the people worked below him. And so he could look over everything and people could come there to meet with him. It says he made a wine press. Now, when you make a wine press, that assumes that you're going to have something to press. You're going to have grapes. You know, when you make a wine press, you're ready to make wine.
Right.
So you're assuming that grapes are going to grow. You're going to bring them to this place and you're going to make wine out of them.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets a wine press ready. It's a place where the fruit is brought. You know, it's in the Old Testament system. It was the altar in the temple. It was the altar in the tent where the sacrifices came. The wine press was ready. He expected that there was going to be good fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to make wine out of wild stuff that's grown in a field somewhere.
No.
You're not going to make wine out of some shriveled up piece of grape somewhere. You're going to make good wine out of good grapes. And so every preparation, all these things we're talking about, every preparation was made to make sure that good wine was going to come.
Mm-hmm.
Good grapes were going to come.
Right.
Every advantage. So when God gives you advantages, you know, it says in the scripture, I can't recall now where it is, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected.
Yes.
You know, when God gives you gifts to use, the direction to use them in, the intellect to do it, the power to do it, he expects you to do something with that.
Right.
Like you always like to quote the parable of the talents.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say, well, okay, he gave me this stuff, so I'm just going to sit here now because I'm scared. You know, he expects more from you, kind of like if he gives you the ability to teach and you don't teach, you know, you've not done what he wants you to do.
Exactly.
If you have the ability to do worship music, and you say, well, I have the ability to do worship music, but I think I'm just going to stay home and play my guitar in my family room.
Yeah.
You're not doing what he's asked you to do.
Right.
And so here, he expects the advantages. He expects from the advantages he gave them that the fruit is going to be good. And when you have grapes, when you have fig trees, when you have peach trees, whatever kind of fruit you're growing, but to stick with vineyards for now, it isn't good to just have leaves. The plant looks nice with leaves. You know, you see a nice, beautiful green tree. You say, wow, it's a beautiful tree.
Yeah.
So let's go pick the fruit. Then there's no fruit.
Right.
you know, you got a lot of nice looking Christians who can say a lot of cool stuff. They dress nice. They have a good voice. They stand in the middle of the church and say stuff, and people go, "Wow, look at that guy. He looks great."
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got the Pharisees had all the stuff on. And if you saw them coming, you said, "Man, look how holy those guys are.
Look at that phylactery."
Yeah, I just got this little dopey one. And this guy's got this really big, cool one. And so, you know, you have to have more than leaves and blossoms. You have to have some fruit.
Right.
And in the church, there's plenty of people that say all kinds of stuff, but they have to do something along with it as well.
Right, right. You know, when Jesus sees the fig tree and it has no fruit on it.
Yeah.
You know, this goes along with this. He's ready to have it cut down. And there's one portion where, no, you know, we'll cultivate around it, give it some nutrients and stuff like that, and leave it for a year and see if it produces fruit. So a tree is there to bear fruit,
mm-hmm.
so that it can yield fruit for people to, you know, eat and live off of.
It's not just a decoration.
Not just a decoration, no. Now, in this, you know, in this passage of Isaiah, as you're talking about the grapes and the, you know, the house of Israel and the people of Judah and God's chosen, you know, he supplied them with everything that they needed. And that's why he says, what more could I have done?
Mm-hmm.
What more could I have done for my vineyard?
Yes.
You know, if the ground and the soil is not right, you're going to get sour grapes.
Mm-hmm.
If the, you know, when Jesus talks about the, you know, the parable of the sower and the condition of one's heart, you know, if our heart is good and fertile soil, we're most likely going to bear good fruit because God's word has taken root in our heart and it's within us.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And what, you know, the old saying is, you know, when you squeeze an orange, why do you get orange juice? Because that's what's inside of it.
Yeah.
You know, if you squeeze somebody and they get really frustrated and angry, why do they, you know, why do you get that? Because that's what's inside. And when God's word is in us,
mm-hmm.
you know, does that come out? Or do we put a bushel basket over top of it and go, well, you know, God gave this to me and well, I really don't want to offend anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not what it's there for.
That's right.
And God even says, I think it's in Isaiah, you know, I've not spoken from some dark place or hiding.
Yeah.
I've not spoken in some empty waste.
Yes.
He speaks to us because his word brings forth life.
That's right.
And in this, that word is to bear fruit because yes. he also says in Isaiah, you know, my word's not going to return to me void, but it's going to accomplish that for which I sent it.
Same chapter.
Same chapter.
No.
55.
55. I was close. Something
it's,
with a
it's
five.
It's two fives.
It.
Yeah. Something with a five. So, but God is patient and he waits for this harvest of grapes, mm-hmm. this crop that's going to be a bountiful harvest.
Yeah.
Ooh.
How many of you came to see Paul Over last season?
I was there.
Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
Ooh, woo. Man.
That's my favorite. I think that's become my favorite Paul Wilbur song.
I thought it was Friday Night.
And that's saying a lot.
Yes.
If you were there last Friday night at Tikvah Israel, you know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
Or any of the other venues. But so fruit, you know, fruit's what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John the Baptist and Jesus talked about bearing fruit.
Right.
And the bottom line was, hey, if the tree doesn't bear fruit, what do? You cut it down and burn it.
Exactly.
So, you know, if you're a good-looking Christian, but you're not doing anything.
Yeah. Like John the Baptist said, who warned you of the coming wrath?
Yeah.
Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance.
Yeah.
So there wasn't, he wasn't, being timid in his choice of words.
Yeah.
He was speaking the truth to them in authority.
Yes.
And that's still the same for us today who profess to be a disciple of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That we have to bear good fruit in order that it's going to yield a harvest for the kingdom.
Yes. And his expectations are reasonable. You know, that when he planted this vineyard and put a wall around it, got rid of the rocks, tilled the soil, planted the best vines, his expectation was that there was going to be good fruit,
mm-hmm.
because all the preparations are made. Now,
right.
If you take a bunch of really good grapevines and plant them in the middle of a wasteland, they're not going to grow. You can't expect to get fruit by planting grapevines in the middle of a desert with no water.
True.
Or, middle of, I don't know.
Very
There's
true.
Certain conditions that you need.
Right.
So he had all the conditions ready.
Mm-hmm.
And, the passage says that instead of getting these really good grapes, wild grapes came. Now, that's not good. What's he talking about? If you make all these preparations and you get bad grapes, what were all the preparations for?
Right.
Nothing. I mean, it didn't accomplish what the preparations were supposed to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
The wild grapes, you could have brought forth without doing all that preparation.
Yeah.
Because grapes will grow wild anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
He wants domesticated good grapes.
Right.
To make wine from, to have as fruit. And, in Deuteronomy 32:32, he calls bad grapes the wine of Sodom.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know about Sodom. We're not going to get into that.
Yeah.
So it's like a disgusting Gentile city, a disgusting place. That's the kind of grapes you're going to get. And it's what the land outside of the vineyard bears. So in other words, it's the kind of fruit you get from the unclean pagan Gentiles. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of the people, the choice vines with all the preparation, giving the good grapes, they give the same grapes as the ground around them.
Right.
Because they don't obey, they don't follow, they get corrupted, mm-hmm. they rebel.
Right.
You know, when you're talking about rebellion, it's, reminds me as, when you're reading through the Torah books.
Right.
Every time you turn the page, there's another rebellion.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
people are always in rebellion.
Yeah.
And we are too. We're going to use the New Testament part of it, next time, but next week. But they didn't do what they were supposed to do.
Right.
They were supposed to be a light to the nations. They were supposed to be God's representative people on earth. And they didn't do a very good job. They didn't bring forth the good fruit. They brought forth the same fruit as the unclean people did.
Right. And they really, as we were saying, they followed the designs of their own heart. And, what's there is our free will to choose.
Mm-hmm.
God gives us that free will to choose to love him, to follow him, and then to serve him.
Yeah.
And, we're not just a puppet on a string and God's, manipulating us up there going, okay, I'm going to make Steve do this now. I'm going to make Phil do that there. That's not how it works.
Right,
we have to cooperate with God's grace. We allow God's word to sink into us.
And we can say, I don't want to do that.
Right. Just like, Jesus, there was two sons. The father asked the one son, go and do this. He said, yes. Then he later said, no, I'm not going to go and do that.
Mm-hmm.
The other son, I'm not going to go and do that, but then thought better of it and went and did it. So who did the father's will? the one who actually went and did it.
Yeah.
And so the whole point of, you know, Jesus telling the Pharisees all these parables about this, the whole point is he's speaking to them,
mm-hmm.
telling them, you're not doing God's will.
Yes.
And yet they didn't see it.
Yeah.
You know, the hardness of their heart was so settled in that they didn't really even see it. They were offended.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they actually thought that they were doing those things.
Yes.
And so this, you know, as it says, but it yielded rotten grapes.
Yeah.
So you have all these provisions. Is it because God's provisions weren't good enough? Or is it because we have a sin nature, a fallen nature, because of Adam
mm-hmm.
and Eve, and we tend to gravitate towards that?
Yes.
You know, God's the one that's holy. We're not.
Right.
We're the ones that need salvation.
Yeah.
And God's the one that provides it.
That's right. And these wild grapes, you know, they're sour, they're bitter. And so these are fruits from a corrupt nature. They're not fruits from the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He got everything set up so that these would be fruits from the Spirit. But yet they got corrupt fruits. They're bitter. They're sour. You can't make wine out of them. You can't eat them. I mean, you can't do anything with them.
Right.
You might as well throw them away. You
right.
can't even eat them. Mm-hmm. You can't even feed them to the animals. The right. animals won't eat them.
Right.
Because it's a corrupt fruit. You know, and we can look at it as, you know, in our time, if you look at the church as a vineyard, you know, if there's sour grapes in there,
that sounds like an old saying, you got sour grapes.
No, it's a little different. But
There's a few sour grapes out there.
You know, when you get wild grapes that are bitter and sour and you can't use them, you know, that's false ideas that come into the church, hypocritical stuff that goes on in the church. Bickering. I mean, these aren't fruits of the Spirit.
Bickering and complaining.
Bickering, yeah. complaining, dividing over things. And I think we did one on the divisions in the body.
Yeah.
I mean, we probably did like 48 shows on that, but you know.
Heaven forbid.
But these are bad fruits.
Yeah.
You know, if you have churches, you know, if you have the church splitting into more and more pieces, that's not bearing fruit. That's just causing division. And
yeah.
then one group of people says, well, we're going to go over there instead of here. And the other group says, well, we're going to go over there instead of here. And
right.
You know, you don't accomplish what you're supposed to be accomplishing.
And really, you know, what you're describing and what we've talked about on previous shows is because somebody doesn't agree with something that's said and they don't have a knowledge of Scripture,
mm-hmm.
an understanding of God's Word,
yeah.
and they're not willing to be formed.
Yes.
They're not willing to, you know, Paul tells us, you know, that we need to have our minds renewed in Christ. You know, because
Romans 12, favorite book.
Your favorite book. You're probably going to go to Starbucks and have a coffee with Paul on talk about Romans
first
for
day.
A long time.
First day,
you'll have all of eternity. To talk
That's
about.
Right.
But so let me get back to where I was at. you know this. Oh, I lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
All right.
It'll come back.
False ideas dividing.
Okay. So we fall into the same things today
mm-hmm.
because of our inability to be formed, to be pruned, to mm-hmm. be molded. Jesus talks about, you know, I am the vine. My Father's the vine dresser.
Mm-hmm.
He prunes away every branch that doesn't bear fruit.
Yeah.
When God starts pruning us, it's not very comfortable.
No.
And see, there's a willingness to submit to what God's asking us to do. You know, Jesus submitted to God's will and he was on a cross. God's not going to place us on a cross as his son was,
mm.
not necessarily, but he is going to prune us.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to because he wants us to bear the choicest of grapes. He wants us to bear the choicest of fruits. And if we don't allow God to do that to us, and if we don't examine our own hearts and say, Lord, you know, search me. Find, is there any false way within me?
Mm-hmm.
And I forget where that's from right now. Was it Psalm 139?
It's Psalm
139. I can't remember exactly where it's at, but
it's a psalm.
It's a psalm. what is that prayer for? God, search me and try me. And if there's any false way in me, mm-hmm. root it out of me. You know, if you pray that, God's going to go to work. And you're probably going to get things revealed from the Holy Spirit that you're going to have to deal with.
Yeah. And the ugly branches are going to get pruned off.
Yeah. And the flesh is going to war against that and go,
we like those
branches. But I like those branches. And God's saying, those branches aren't good for you. But I'm telling you, those branches aren't good for you. I'll let the branches stay for a little bit longer. Okay. You asked me to prune. Now you're telling me not to prune.
Yeah.
You can stay with them for a little bit longer. And he'll, let's see how that works out for you.
Hmm.
Because God's merciful. And God will come and get, he'll continuously draw us to himself.
And he won't take away your free will.
And he won't take away your free will. Exactly. He's not going to say, okay, I told you 1,000 times not to do that. Now you're just not going to do it.
Yeah.
That would be the easy fix.
Yeah.
But that's not the way it works because then my love for God is not purely out of my own heart
mm-hmm.
because I simply love him.
Mm-hmm.
It would be, oh, I got this desire to do this, but okay, well, God's making me into this, automatic response person and I'm just going to do whatever he wants. And that's not the way that it works.
Yeah,
it's not the way that it works. So if we're willing to be molded by God and have our hearts cultivated, are to be pruned by God, if you will,
mm-hmm.
the chances are is that we're going to bear good grapes because our hearts are going to be cultivated. That soil of our hearts is going to become good and fertile soil. God's word is going to take root in our heart. And we are going to have the love, the joy, and the peace, and all the fruits of the Spirit that God promises in Galatians. And we're going to be able to go out and bear a bountiful harvest for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And not be a sour grape, everybody that we meet, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, and that's the plan.
And if you've ever bitten into a sour grape, it is really bad.
I've had some experience with that. I've had some experience with people that are sour grapes. And you have too.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I mean, God's plan is for the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
He has a plan. His plan is not, I'll just do this now and see how things turn out. He has a plan.
Right.
And you're part of the plan.
Right.
I mean, y'all are part of the plan. Y'all are part of the plan. And he won't take away your free will. You can decide, well, that's a nice plan. And, if you feel like doing that, that's cool, but I don't want to mm-hmm. do your plan.
Exactly.
He'll say, okay, he'll find somebody else to take your place.
He will.
His plan's going to go on,
mm-hmm.
but the plan is for the fruit. And he, just like he provided this vineyard with all these things and did all this work, he does the same thing with us
mm-hmm.
on an individual scale. I mean, we're not just talking about big pieces of land or big church buildings. Or, in this case, big synagogues. We're not talking about big buildings where people are assembling. It also applies to each individual person.
Right.
He gets you ready to bear fruit.
Right.
Cleans the soil, gets rid of the rocks, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
Gets the weeds out, plants the vines, then some more weeds come in,
mm-hmm.
pulls those, some wild branches grow. Prunes those off.
Yeah.
And, eventually you're going to bear fruit.
Well, as you're describing that, I think it's very easy for us to fall into the idea that, well, I gave my life to the Lord and now I'm all fixed up and I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And in reality, we're creatures, we form habits mm-hmm. and patterns of thought and
yes.
beliefs, and we do things out of habit, it's inevitable because that's just the way God made us.
Yeah.
And breaking those habits and forming new habits that are going to produce, good fruit
mm-hmm.
versus bad fruit takes time, takes a process. And that's why it's so important for us to yield to God and allow him to mm-hmm. form us. And it's not that we're, sometimes people think, I'm going to give up my freedom. Well, mm-hmm. not necessarily, because what God's offering you is eternal life.
Yeah. And total freedom.
And total freedom to worship him in spirit and in truth. And there's nothing better than that. there's nothing better than that, especially if you've been on the other side of that and you realize where you were going, like I did. And, you know, I didn't leave anything back there that I want to go back and get.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So there's nothing there that, are there allurements? Oh yeah, certainly.
Sure.
You know, there's still allurements, but that's the, to say that, you know, we're not going to have any bad branches anymore or anything like that. The allurements are still there. Sin is still prevalent in the world. I mean, look, you don't have to look too far to find it.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And because we get so saturated in our culture with, you know, lust and all these other things that come from pride,
mm-hmm.
you can tend to think that, well, you know, I guess it's not that bad. And you get lulled to sleep.
Sure.
And you end up becoming a wild branch.
Exactly.
Instead of a good and healthy branch off the vine. And if we don't remain in union with Christ, you know, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Mm-hmm. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
Yeah. And the demons sing you that lullaby. Oh, don't worry. Look how much better you are than that guy over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're doing okay. You're doing okay. You went to church 3 times last month. You're doing great. And that, you know, okay, sure.
Yeah.
But that's not going to bear fruit. That doesn't fit into the preparations that have been made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then toward the end of that, you know, in the second part of, and toward the end of that passage, you know, he appeals to the people to judge. What do you think? You know, I did all this stuff and it bore bad fruit. What do you think? I mean, it's so clearly in his favor. Everything should have gone the way he wanted it to go based on the preparations he made. Mm-hmm. Even common sense makes this obvious. Like, right. What else could he have done for Israel?
Right.
Couldn't have done anything else. And no other nation had all these advantages.
No.
No other nation could even worship him. They didn't even know him. But Isaiah addresses that too. I think we've been through that. But anyway, no other nation knew him. They were the covenant people. What more could he have done? So after doing all these advantages, he expects good fruit. He gets corrupt fruit. Now, one thing for sure is not his fault.
Right.
It's not his fault. Everything was prepared. It's the people's fault. And so there's going to be judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And the judgment's going to show what your fruit is.
Right.
You know, Jesus makes that clear in Matthew 25.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't ask you, how many Bible studies did you go to? He doesn't ask you, like, how many songs did you sing?
Right.
He doesn't ask you, like, how many minutes did you spend praying per day?
Mm-hmm.
He wants to know what you did.
Right.
And
very true.
The judgment's going to show this. So if there's no fruit, all these preparations have been made and there's no fruit. You got a couple of shriveled up grapes that you can't even eat.
Right.
What's going to happen? Well, that's going to be the end of the vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
And this was an amazing prophecy. You know, it's interesting that Isaiah, you know, talks so much about Gentiles are going to come into the kingdom too. And this is kind of another prefigurement of that, because now there's no fruit. So why do I have this vineyard that I'm not getting anything out of?
Mm-hmm.
Might as well tear the wall down
and
might as well go with, you know, they're just like the land around them.
Yeah.
So the judgment comes. So when you take the wall down, it's not a vineyard anymore. It turns into a wilderness and all the advantages are taken away.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you remember one of my favorite minor prophets, Hosea, he has a child called Lo Ami, which means not my people.
Mm.
The wall's torn down. These are not my people.
Yeah.
They still are his people. It's a judgment thing.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Paul Wilbur's dead. Remember, check out GetThroughGraceMinistries.org. We'll be right back.
we join our hearts together, we come in one accord. The bonds of peace unite us in the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, clothe us with salvation, robes of purest white, the body of Messiah. We are precious in your sight. Even so, Yeshua, come. All creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. We should have said a Paul Wilbur concert tonight.
Oh, is he anywhere close?
I only went to five of them last weekend.
Not enough. Not nearly enough.
No. And then when we were driving around in the van, I told him I didn't bring any Paul Wilbur CDs and asked him if he could get his guitar out and sing.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we have I think 9 minutes left, maybe. So when the wall of, the other thing that happens when the wall of protection's taken down, outsiders can come in.
Mm-hmm.
Outsiders can plunder the thing. The natural ecology of any place takes over.
Right.
I mean, you cut down trees and vines and you make like a nice field and then let it go for a while. And within a short time, all the wild stuff and the trees are growing again. It doesn't take very long. So when the wall, after the wall's taken down, that place where the vineyard was is going to look just like the land around it because the protection is gone.
Right.
So when the people mixed with the nations, it was the nations came in and the vineyard was laid waste because he broke down the wall.
Right.
And the prophet Micah, who's one of my favorite minor prophets, best known for telling us where Messiah was going to be born in Micah 5. But in Micah 3:12, he says, Zion will be plowed under and Jerusalem will be heaps. Ooh.
Wow.
That means no more care, no more pruning, no more digging. Weeds come up. Weeds and thorns.
Right.
Because this is a product of sin and disobedience. You become just like all the other people.
Yeah.
You know, when the people wanted a king, they said to Samuel, we want to be just like everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, God spent all that time saying, you're a special people. You're not supposed to mix with the other people. And they say, we want to be just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. We have a tendency to want to do that.
Yeah.
Want to fit in.
Yeah, exactly. And you can see what happens in the land. You know, during the break, we were talking about the land.
Right. When the nation of Israel when the last temple was destroyed, the people were scattered.
Yep.
They were just scattered to the ends of the earth. And look at how that land where Israel is now a nation state, what it was like for 1900 years. I mean, you said Mark Twain went there and said this is just
desolate. There's not a green thing.
Yeah.
It was not a green thing.
It was left desolate, a howling wasteland of desert.
Yeah.
Nothing grew.
Yes.
The nation of Israel is reestablished in 1948. And now what?
It turns green.
It turns green.
Yeah.
And they're the biggest exporter of oranges in the world.
In fact,
think about that. That little piece of land.
In fact, Ariel Sharon said before he had his stroke, he said, you gave us a desert and now we export oranges. Yeah. That was really cool.
I mean, think of it. In the United States, we have California and Florida.
Yeah.
They have all these orange crops.
Yeah. And they're huge.
And they're huge.
Compared to Israel.
Compared to Israel. And Israel is the largest exporter of oranges.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That there in itself says something.
The people in the
about...
land have a connection to each other.
Yeah.
When the people are out of the land is desolate.
Because God gave them that land.
That's right. Theodore Herzl, who was the father of Zionism, went to Jerusalem in the 1890s. I think it was 1896. And he says, this place is a hellhole.
Yeah.
He said, it's hot. It's dirty. There's no water. There's nothing growing. It's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And he went back to Europe. But so, when they got back in 1948, it didn't take long. I mean, if you go to Jerusalem now, it's a beautiful, modern city
mm-hmm.
with transportation, cars, beautiful houses, beautiful buildings. It doesn't look anything like the cities in the countries around it.
Right. And you've been there.
Yeah.
What's the Green Line?
The Green Line. Yes, the border.
It's the border.
Israel and whatever the next Arab country is.
I mean, is that not amazing?
It's amazing. In fact, you can see it, you know, the first time my wife and I went, you know, you drive over a hill and you see the end of the green and you see desert.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, that must be the border. And it is.
And it is. I mean, and that's just, I mean, it's amazing because what stops the growth?
Yeah.
And who stops the growth?
Yeah.
And who permits the growth?
Yeah. And all the gifts, you know, are back there now, which is another sign Jesus is coming back soon. Mm-hmm. He's going to go back. And,
amen.
You know, it's interesting there in verse 7, the prophet, in this case Isaiah, my favorite major prophet, he explains what the vineyard is. He says, the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel,
mm-hmm.
and the men of Judah are his pleasant plants.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So he made this all for them. He went looking for fruit. There wasn't any fruit.
Mm.
It says he expected justice. He expected certain things to happen. He expected humility, meekness, and love. But instead, what was there? Pride, passion, discontent, malice, rebellion. So he said, well, fine.
Yeah.
Break the wall down if that's what they want. You know, it's hauntingly similar even to our country. You know, we were a country that always invoked God and always mm-hmm. said we were the Judeo-Christian country. And
right.
Now we've decided... we don't want God in our society anymore.
Yeah.
We've decided, thank you very much, God, but we used to need you at one time, but we don't need you now, so
yeah.
Not going to have you in anything anymore.
We can take it from here.
Right.
Yeah.
So he said, fine, I'll just knock the walls down, and everybody will come in just like he did here.
Yeah.
And so when they killed the prophets, when they rebelled against the law, when they rebelled against him, and they ultimately rejected the Messiah,
right.
which was the ultimate problem,
right?
The ultimate disobedience, they were exiled, like you just said. They were mm-hmm. scattered all over the world, and the land became desolate.
Yeah.
If you'd have gone and stood in the middle of Jerusalem 1,000 years ago, you'd have said, what in the world am I doing here?
Yeah. Even up to a couple... like
yeah.
100 years ago.
1948.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good lesson for us. If, you know, for those who are listening, it's a good lesson for us that we continually day in and day out need to renew ourselves with God's word and to be watchful
mm-hmm.
of our own, you know, of our own relationship with God.
Yep.
Because just as a tree can bear branches that aren't going to bear fruit, we can bear branches that aren't going to bear fruit.
Yes.
We constantly, you know, if you just look at a garden or a plant and how it grows and how it needs to be pruned and trimmed so that it looks nice and presentable and it, you know, a garden, how it's going to bear good fruit.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do the same things for ourselves by nourishing ourselves with the Word of God,
mm-hmm.
by spending time with God and, you know, really by spending time with others and encouraging others and also proclaiming the word of God to go out and bear that fruit, to, you know, announce to our neighbors that there's forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And God will do the rest.
Right.
God will do the rest. He gives us a simple message to tell. Hey, brother, your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah, you just bear the good grapes and take them to the wine press.
You don't have to sit there and point out all their sins.
That's right. And you don't have to hit them over the head with your Bible.
No. No. It's a, you know, it's a pretty simple task.
Yeah.
But it is one that that really demands that we are cultivated and that we are pruned and formed mm-hmm. into a good disciple.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why I say the whole concept of the vineyard applies to each individual one of us too. It's we've been prepared as a vineyard too.
Right. Right.
And then we have the choice. We're going to bear the fruit. We're not going to bear the fruit.
Mm-hmm. We going to go work in the vineyard today, or are we going to take the day off?
We're going to take the day off.
Well, I took yesterday off too. One more day. I'll go out tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow never comes.
Yeah. And then he comes looking for fruit and you haven't borne it.
And that's the thing. Nobody's tomorrow is guaranteed to anybody.
That's right.
You know, Jesus,
And when you die, what you want to hear is, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
You don't want to hear, I sent you there to do fruit and I haven't gotten any fruit.
Right. Ooh. Ooh. The end of the show already.
We got one more vineyard show though.
Okay.
Anyway, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that the Spirit of God would enlighten your mind and your heart to His Word, His truth, and His Son, Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Have a blessed week, everyone. God bless. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.